We're going to commence our service this evening by singing the hymn 100. The hymn 100, this was written by Anne Cousins in the middle of the 19th century. The hymn, O Christ, what burdens bowed thy head, our load was laid on thee, thou stoodest in the sinner's stead, didst bear all ill for me. And no sooner was that hymn published than a soldier heard it being sung. And his response was, he said he would be a coward who would go to heaven at the cost of another. However, his life went by and he got wiser. He came to realize that he could not get to heaven by his own efforts. And there came that stage that he looked away to Christ. And history records that he died singing the words of this hymn and calling it my hymn, my hymn. And I trust tonight that it will be your hymn, that you'll realize that Christ died that you might be forgiven. We're going to keep our seats while we sing this beautiful hymn, O Christ, what burdens bowed thy head. Let us just bow together in a word of prayer. We encourage God's people just to lay hold upon the Lord and ask for his presence with us here this evening. Our gracious God and eternal heavenly Father, we thank thee for thy good hand upon us this day already. We thank thee for the food that we have enjoyed, the fellowship that we have had. We thank thee that thou hast drawn us even into this thy house to worship thy name. We thank thee for the words that we have been singing this evening. We recognize that at Calvary that thou didst take our sin. We thank you, Lord, that thou didst bear my burden, and that thou didst bear it not in part, but that thou didst bear it in all of its fullness. We rejoice that taking my sin, that thou didst bear it away, where it will never be found again. And we come this evening, and we praise thee, Lord. We recognize that we cannot fully understand what it must have meant for thee, the Son of God, to take our sin, to die in our place. We recognize that thou didst not only bear the physical pain of the cross and the mental agony, but that thou didst bear the punishment that was due to our sin. We thank the Lord that not only didst thou bear our sin, but we thank thee that rising again, that thou didst cast it as far as the east is from the west. We rejoice, Lord, tonight that as we come into this place, that we have cause to praise thy name. We thank thee for the glad tidings of the gospel. And Lord, we pray that as that message is proclaimed this evening, whether in song or in preaching, Lord, that thou wouldst take it, and that sinners might recognize, even as that old soldier recognized, that he cannot make his own way to heaven. And Lord, that tonight that they might look away from self, look away even from those who are close to them, and that tonight they might look away to thee, and that they might leave this place not as they came, but leave this place saved by grace alone. Lord, to this end we pray that thou wouldst be with us this evening. Bless thy servant as he opens up thy word. We pray, take thy truth, write it upon this preacher's heart, write it upon each one's heart gathered here this evening. Lord, we long this night that we might leave this place saying that we have heard the voice of the Lord. But, oh God, may we not only be able to say that, but may we be able to say that we have bowed before thy word. We thank you for these meetings. We thank, Lord, of the invitations that have been given. We pray for this community, that thou wouldst draw many in, but more than that, you would draw many to the foot of the old rugged cross. So, Lord, we look to thee tonight. Bless in this place, where'er the word is preached this night. Lord, we pray that there might be a drawing unto thyself. So be with us and help us, for we pray in thy name and for thy glory. We do welcome Dr. McRae back again tonight, and we also say a warm word of welcome to his wife this evening as well. And I'm going to ask her brother just at this stage to come and minister in song to us.
He paid a debt he did not owe. I owed a debt I could not pay. I need someone to wash my sin away. And now I sing redemption's song, amazing grace. Christ Jesus paid the debt that I could never pay. He paid that debt on Calvary. He cleansed cleanse my soul. He set me free. I'm glad that Jesus did all my sins erase. And now I sing redemption's song, amazing grace. Christ Jesus paid the debt that I could never pay. Oh, such great pain my Lord endured when he my sin was so secured. I should have died there, but Jesus took my place. And now I sing redemption's song, amazing grace. Christ Jesus paid the debt that I could never pay. One day he's coming back for me. I live with him eternally. Won't it be glory to see him on that day? And now I sing redemption's song, amazing grace. Christ Jesus paid the debt that I could never pay. At the cross, at the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. Let's sing it now at the cross. At the cross, at the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. And now I sing redemption's song, amazing grace. Christ Jesus paid the debt that I could never pay. Now I sing redemption's song, amazing grace. Christ Jesus paid the debt that I could never pay. I have a peace that is mine, wonderful peace so divine, makes every dark cloud to shine, and it's all because of God's love. Oh, the love of the Savior for me, that he showed there on Calvary's tree. What a deep flowing river it flows on forever, the love of the Savior for me. Saved by the blood of the Lamb, cleansed from the sin that would damn. Happy in Jesus I am, and it's all because of God's love. Oh, the love of the Savior for me, that he showed there on Calvary's tree. What a deep flowing river flows on forever, love of the Savior for me. Out of the depths of despair, into His love and His care, ever His glory to share, and it's all because of God's love. Oh, the love of the Savior for me, that is sure there on Calvary's tree. What a deep flowing river it flows on forever, the love of the Savior for me. Yes, the love of the Savior for me.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Can I thank our brother for those messages and song, for drawing us to Calvary and reminding us of the love and of the peace of God that passeth all understanding. I want to bid each of you a very warm welcome. We're glad to see you here on this Tuesday evening, and we thank you for coming. It's hard to believe. We started these meetings on Saturday night. We're now more than halfway through, and there's just three more meetings left after tonight. So we'd like to encourage you, come back, not just on Thursday night or Friday night, but come back every night. We'd love to have you here. You turn on the news, all you hear in these days, gas prices have gone through the roof, oil prices have gone through the roof. Well, you come tomorrow night, Thursday night, and Friday night, and you'll get the heating absolutely free. And you can just turn the boiler off at home and save money. And not only will you get warm, but I'll tell you better than that, you'll get your heart warmed as you listen to our brother minister in song and open up the Bible and tell the old story of God's saving grace. So do come back tomorrow night, Thursday night, and Friday night. On Thursday night, Mr. Stephen Anderson will also be singing in the meeting. And then Friday nights are normally our young people's fellowship, the Walker sisters from our own youth fellowship will be singing also on Friday evening as well. And if you can come early, we have the season of prayer just in the room out at the back, and we'd love to have you with us for those seasons of prayer as well. Also remember, tomorrow night is the beeline for the boys and girls. Beeline is usually 7 to 8, but because of the meetings here, it will be just from 7 through to 7:30. So the church will be free here from after 7:30 for you to come on in to the meeting. We're going to sing another hymn together. We're going to sing the hymn 200. Grace 'tis a charming sound, harmonious to the ear. Heaven with the echo shall resound, and all the earth shall hear. The hymn 200, and we're keeping our seats while we sing.
Thank you.
Could I also just say a warm word of welcome to Reverend David Crean, Minister of Emeritus of this congregation. It's nice to have a brother with us here tonight as well. I'm going to ask Reverend McCrae to come and to sing to us and then minister from the Word of God.
A woman tried many positions, yet she grew worse, so to Jesus she came. And as the crowd tried to restrain her, whispered these words through her pain. Touching Jesus, that's all that really matters. Then your life will never be the same. There's only one way to touch Him. You gotta believe when you call on His name. Well, I was bound when I knelt at that old altar. They said Jesus will meet your every need. And as this prisoner finally touched Jesus, He set me free. Only one way you can touch Him. You've got to believe when you call on His name. Oh, touching Jesus, that's all that matters. Then your life say, there's only one way you can touch Him. You've got to believe when you call on His name. Sinner, believe when you call His name.
I want us to open our Bibles this evening in the book of Luke's Gospel and the chapter number 8. Once again, I want to join with your minister in thanking you for coming to share with us in the gospel service tonight. And I trust that you've come, child of God, with a spirit of expectancy, praying that God will meet with us, that God will speak to our hearts, that God will even use the preaching of His precious word for His honor and for his glory alone. So therefore, we're looking to the Lord tonight for his hand upon us for good. And so the book of Luke's Gospel and the chapter number 8 is where we're reading. And we'd like you to follow us, the reading of God's precious and God's infallible truth. We're going to commence reading at verse number 37. Verse 37 of Luke chapter 8. Then the whole multitude of the country of the Gadarenes round about besought him, that's Jesus, to depart from them, that they were taken, for they were taken with great fear. And he went up into a ship and returned back again. Now the man out of whom the devils were departed besought him that he might be with him. But Jesus sent him away, saying, Return unto thine house, and show how great things God hath done unto thee. And he went his way and published throughout the whole city how great things Jesus had done unto him. It came to pass that when Jesus was returned, the people gladly received him, for they were all waiting for him. And behold, there came a man named Jairus, and he was a ruler of the synagogue, and he fell down at Jesus' feet and besought him that he would come into his house. For he had one only daughter, about 12 years of age, and she lay dying. But as he went, people thronged him. And a woman having an issue of blood 12 years, which had spent all her living with upon physicians, neither could be healed of any, came behind him and touched the border of his garment. And immediately her blood, or the issue of blood, was stanched. And Jesus said, Who touched me? And when all denied, Peter and they that were with him said, Master, the multitude throng thee and press thee, and sayest thou, Who touched me? And Jesus said, Somebody hath touched me, for I perceive that virtue is gone out of me. And when the woman saw that she was not hid, she came trembling and falling down before him. She declared unto him before all the people for what cause she had touched him, and how that she was healed immediately. And he said unto her, Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace. And God add his blessing to the reading of his precious word for his name's sake and glory. Amen. Let's just stand for a wee word of prayer. Let's just stand and bow our heads before God. I need the help of the Lord tonight, every child of God praying to that end. Our gracious God and heavenly Father, we thank thee for thy precious word. We thank thee for the privilege of standing in this pulpit tonight to be able to open up the scriptures, the precious, infallible, inspired word of the living God. We thank thee for the men who have stood in this pulpit over the years, being faithful in the proclamation of thy truth. And we pray that our God, that thou will just bless them tonight, Brother Crane, and our dear brother, the minister of this congregation at this moment, we pray that thou will bless him. And Lord, anoint him with fresh oil, Lord, Sunday by Sunday. Brother Murray, know that touch right from thyself. And Lord, I pray for the service tonight that thou will help me to preach Christ in simplicity and yet our God in the splendor of his person. We thank thee he's the altogether lovely one, the fairest of the fair, O God, the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. And so bless us now as we meditate upon thy truth, for we pray in Jesus' precious name, praying for the covering of the blood and praying for the infilling and the outpouring of thy Holy Spirit upon this preacher tonight for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen. The Lord Jesus Christ said to Mary one day, Wist ye not that I must be about my Father's business? The Lord Jesus Christ went on to say in John chapter 4, My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish the work. And thank God the one who sent him, the Bible tells us in John chapter 3, verse 17, God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. So he was sent of the Father. And he said, my meat or my purpose or aim in life is this. It is to do the will of him that sent me. He says, I come to do thy will, O my God. And to finish that work, and praise God, that's exactly what he did at the cross of Calvary. For on the cross of Calvary, the Lord Jesus Christ, before he died, he cried, it is finished. He didn't say, I'm finished. But thank God he said, it's finished. The work that the Father gave him to do. Now, when the Lord Jesus Christ was going around and he was bringing the news of salvation to men and women, the Bible tells us that in this chapter 8 of the book of Luke's Gospel, that there was a man, the Lord Jesus Christ, went across the Sea of Galilee for a single purpose, to meet a man. He was known as the demonic of Gadara. That man had lived amongst the tombs. Now the Bible tells us that Jesus told him to go to home to thy house. In other words, he had a home. I don't know who was in it. I don't know what family he had. But the Lord told him to go home and to tell how great things the Lord hath done for him. And praise God, he did that too. The Lord Jesus Christ found him. He was running amongst the tombs. He had been cutting himself. He had been trying to commit suicide. His heart was so stained and burdened by sin. There was no reason to go on. And even the people around him, they felt sorry for him. They tried to restrain him. Whenever he got into this pit of depression, oppressed by the devil and the demons of hell that overtook this man. And he tried to end it all. And the Bible says they tried to restrain him, and they put chains upon him, but they just tore them asunder. It was just a little piece of thread. That was by the power and energy of the evil demons that had possessed him, and the power of the devil himself. But thank God Jesus didn't leave him that way. The Lord Jesus Christ came at the right time. He came to the right place. He came for the right person. And glory to God, whenever the Lord Jesus Christ delivered that man and told the demons to leave, thank God they had to go. And at the command of Christ, the Bible says that this man who had been running amongst the tombs, the Bible says that he was sitting at the feet of Jesus and he was clothed. And he was in his right mind. That's the power of the gospel, friend. The Lord changes lives. And here's a man who's gloriously and wonderfully changed. And you would say, well, listen, the community that had tried to help him, surely they'd be excited that this man has now been liberated. And there he's sitting at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ, listening to every word that the master had to say. But we read tonight in verse 37. That rather than welcoming what Jesus had done, it says the whole multitude of the country of the Gadarenes round about besought Jesus to depart from them. They said, Jesus, we don't want you. We don't want you. We don't want your claims upon our lives. We don't want your authority in our lives. Jesus, go! What did he do? He left. I remember years ago, Dr. Paisley telling me of a young woman that had come to his meetings on the Ravenhill Road. That was in the old church in the Ravenhill Road. Came Sunday after Sunday, and she sat in those meetings. She sat nights in tears, broken over her sin. And then one night, he saw her as she was going out through the door, and he spoke to her about her soul, about the things of God. Tears were running down her cheeks, but friend, she left the gospel meeting. So long saved. She came back the following Sunday night. And he noticed that whenever he was preaching, there was no concern. After the meeting was over, he made his way to the door to stop that young lady going out. And he asked her, was there something wrong? That's what she said. Dr. Paisley, I was so troubled last Sunday night. And I wanted to go to the dance and I wanted to go to the things of the world, and therefore I didn't want these claims of Jesus Christ upon my life. And she said, I got into bed and then I was so troubled about this all. I finally got out of bed and I said this.
He says, God, leave me. I don't want you to trouble me anymore. He says, Dr. Pacey, just like that. Concern left me. I went to my bed, I fell asleep. And I came to the service tonight to tell you, Paisley, I'll not be back. I'll not be back. The Bible tells us, you know, that they asked the Lord Jesus to depart from them. And the Lord Jesus Christ says, he went up into a ship and returned back. If God the Holy Ghost is speaking to you tonight, friend, don't you play around with the things of God, because remember what God says in his word. My spirit shall not always strive with man. And if God's speaking to you and the spirit of God's striving you, then thank God for that with all your heart. And yield your heart to the claims of Christ and receive him while the voice of God is calling. Be in time. If in sin you longer wait, you may find no open gate, and your cry will be, too late! Too late! Oh, friend, in God's name, be in time. So the Lord Jesus Christ went back to Capernaum. The Bible tells us, if you look at verse number 38, the man, he wanted to go with the Lord Jesus. He said he wanted to be with him. And Jesus said, no, go home. And he went his way and published throughout the whole city how great things the Lord had done for him. And then it says in verse 40, it came to pass that when Jesus was returned, the people gladly received him, for they were all waiting for him. It's not a different response. They were glad that Jesus had come back. The Lord Jesus Christ had been ministering in other villages and other towns, and now the Lord Jesus has returned. And the people are glad to see him. Tell me, my friend, the Savior is here tonight. Tell me, are you glad that you're here? Are you glad that God's here speaking to your heart, your mind? But you know, in that crowd that day, verse 41 tells us there was a man, his name was Jairus. He was a ruler of a synagogue. In other words, he was a man that was greatly respected in society. He had a standing within the community. He was a man of distinction. There's something about this man, friend. His distinction and his respectability and all these things didn't count that. Why? He runs to the feet of Jesus. And he falls down, verse 41, at Jesus' feet. And he besought the Savior that he would come into his house. He said, Lord, I need you. A friend here was a ruler of the synagogue. He realizes he needs Jesus. Tell me, do you realize, my friend, it's the Lord Jesus Christ that you need? Now, Jairus, as I said, he was a man of distinction, but in a broken heart. He says, Lord, I want you to come home with me, for I have a wee girl, she's the only daughter. She's all I have. She's dying. And I want you to come and heal her. Jesus went, or as he went, verse 42, the people thronged him. You see, friend, I was just reading today, Bob Marley was a Jamaican singer. He died at 36 years of age of cancer. And as he was about to die, he turned to his son and he said this, son, There are things that money can't buy. Money can't buy life. And here's a man with all he had, friend. His wee girl was dying. And he came to Jesus. Tell me, I asked you this. What will it take for God to break you and bring you to his feet? What will it take for God and love and mercy for your soul? What will it take for God to do, to speak to your heart, to bring you to the feet of Jesus? This man was brought to the feet of Jesus. His heart was breaking. He fell at the feet of Jesus. He didn't care. He was the ruler of the synagogue. He didn't care what anybody else was going to say. He realized, I need Jesus. And he besought him. He begged him. Come to my house, Lord. Tell me, sinner, will you ask the Lord Jesus to come into your heart tonight? Lord Jesus, come home with me. There was a class at school one day. The teacher was a Christian. And it was the Bible class in school, and she said, tell me, to the class, she says, tell me, where's heaven? One wee girl put up her hand. She said, yes, Darren. Where's heaven? She says, please, miss, heaven's in our home. The night my daddy got saved. You see, where Jesus is, there's heaven there. It's in your heart. And then as the Lord Jesus Christ was going with this man, the Bible says, end of verse 42, and as he went, the people thronged him. And then it says, and a woman. Now the place was crowded. But the Lord's directing us to one woman. I want to talk to you for a few moments about her, friend, in the closing moments. Notice, first of all, her distress. It said, a woman having an issue of blood. 12 years. This woman was hemorrhaging. There was a flow of blood. But friend, it wasn't for a matter of weeks or months. It was 12 long years. Let me tell you, this woman's dying. She's dying. Oh, it's a slow death. But her blood's flowing away. 12 long years. You can imagine, as the blood from this woman flows from her for those 12 long years, day by day now, and my, perhaps even hour by hour, she's getting weaker and weaker. She has no strength. She's without strength. She couldn't get better of herself. She has no strength to do anything about it. But the Bible tells us, we have a blood disease. Because we're of the race of Adam. Trace the bloodline. Sons and daughters of Adam's race. But Adam's a cursed race. By one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and death passed upon all men. And the Bible tells us in the book of Romans that we were without strength. Just like this wee woman. She's dying. So are we all. You're nearer the end of the journey than ever before. The last enemy which shall be destroyed is death, friend. But let me tell you, since last night, you're a day closer. Don't think this is somebody else. Listen, this is you. We all must needs die. A dying people. And we're out without strength. Without strength. Living under the sentence of death. The Bible says, he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. He that believeth not is condemned. What's the next word? Already. Now, way back years and years ago, 50 years ago, I had the opportunity, I couldn't say privilege, of going to Her Majesty's place on Crumlin Road. You know it well. It wasn't an hotel. It was Crumlin Road Prison. And there I met the man who was the last person to be condemned to death. And he worked with me, or I worked with him, in the cookhouse. He sat in that condemned cell, and if you were to go to Crumlin Road, and you can, you'll be taken into the condemned cell. Some people always think, you know, that what happens is a big long journey, taking that last long journey to the rope. Friend, let me tell you. I'll tell you how close it was. The man was lying in this cell waiting for the next morning. And what he didn't know was the door out of it. That's where the rope was. He was closer to it than he ever thought. But then he got it commuted to life imprisonment. The Bible says, if we believe not the Lord Jesus Christ and put not our trust in him, that man is condemned already. And here's a woman, and she's in utter distress. She's dying. But at least you know she's dying. And yet the tragedy is that men and women are dying in sin. And I've never grasped it. Not only, my dear sinner, are you nearer the grave than ever you've been before, you're nearer hell than ever before. The place where the worm dieth not, and the fires of the damned are never quenched. The eternal destiny for the unconverted. But notice not only her distress, notice her desire. Because the Bible says she came behind Jesus and touched the hem of his garment. Here was a woman had desired. What was she desiring? She was longing for healing. You see, her sickness had left her isolated. She was reduced to begging. There was no social services. And under the law, she was condemned as unclean. Do you remember I said last night, those who were here, that the leper would cry out, unclean, unclean. But here's a woman, because of this disease and the sickness she had, under the law, the Levitical law, she was unclean. And if anybody were to touch her, they would be considered unclean. I don't know whether she was married or not. But her husband couldn't put his arms around her. say, I love you. Because under the law, he was unclean. She couldn't openly mingle with others because her uncleanness separated her from them. She couldn't even go to the woman's court of the temple. She was not allowed to worship with them because of what she had. You say, how do you know that this woman longed for healing? Well, it says in verse number 43, which spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any. She tried every physician for healing, but they all failed. And you know, there are men and women tonight, let me tell you this, and they know that they're sinners before God, but somehow they're trying churchianity to get them into heaven. They're by church attendance, by religion, by their rituals, by their paying, by their self-efforts. They're doing all of these things, trying to get peace with God. Because they know they're not right with God. And this woman knows that she's in an awful place. Isolated, separated, lonely, helpless, and hopeless. And she longs for healing. But then notice her disappointment. It says, neither could be healed of any. In actual fact, Mark's Gospel, chapter 5, speaking about this, she rather grew worse. In other words, every day that passed, she was getting weaker, and the blood was flowing away from her. She could not be healed of any. You know, she spent her last penny, and she wasn't that better. Dear sinner, let me tell you, after all your efforts, you can try churchianity, you can try religion, you can try baptism, you can try confirmation, you can try the communion table, try all of these things. And at the end of them all, friend, you're nothing better. Because not one of them can change your soul. Not one of them can take away your sin. The book of Ephesians tells us that at that time we were without hope and we were without Christ in this world. And outside of Jesus Christ, friend, the sinner's life is in a mess as far as they're standing before God. She came to an end of that. Nothing could be done. Tell me, have you come to an end of yourself? Do you realize, friend, that you can't save yourself? You realize that the church can't save you? You realize the preacher can't save you? But notice her deed. Verse 44. She came behind Jesus. And she touched the hem of his garment. Now tell me, how did that happen? Keep your hand there. Turn back to the record in Mark's Gospel, chapter 5. And in Mark's Gospel, chapter 5, it says this. Verse 26. She has suffered many things of many physicians. Instead of them making her better, they made her worse. And she spent all that she had and was nothing better, but rather grew worse. And then it says this, when she had heard of Jesus. Somebody told her about Jesus. Now, who that somebody was, I don't know. But thank God they did. I remember I was holding a mission up in Hillsborough. And thank God many precious souls came to the Lord Jesus Christ in that mission. And I was in the inquiry room leading a precious soul to the Lord, and I didn't know that we always got a cup of tea at the end in those days of the services, and there were folks waiting around as there was some making the tea. And this woman was waiting there because her friend was making the tea that night. And she was sitting all on her own. And the Reverend Baxter, Morris Baxter's father, was in the congregation that night, and he was walking past, and he saw her sitting alone, and he just sat down in the end of the seat. And then he slipped up beside her, and he started to talk to her, and he asked her, "Was she saved?" She says, "No, I'm not." He says, "Would you not like to be saved?" You know what she said? "I'd love to be." She says, "You know, I have brothers that are saved, but they never once asked me, would I like to come to Christ?" When I came out of that inquiry room, friend, Brother Baxter called me over, and I took her into the inquiry room, and I opened up God's word, and I showed her God's way of salvation. Here's a woman, and she heard of Jesus. Tell me, have you told the lost about Jesus if you're saved? Have you told your family? Have you told your sons and your daughters? Have you told your moms and your dads? Have you told your grannies and grandparents about the Lord Jesus Christ, the only one that's mighty to save and mighty to deliver poor lost souls and save them from hell itself? She heard. I don't know how. I thought about that, you know. Was it that she heard from the old demon at Gadara that the Lord had changed? Do you remember he went into the city and he told them? Is that how she heard? I don't know. But thank God she did. And whenever she heard about Jesus, friend, she knew in her heart, Jesus is the answer. Christ is the answer. Outside the town of Macrofelter's little village, Tombridge, there was a family outside in the midst of the troubles that were there. And the lad in the family was a part-time security member, and he was also a lorry driver. Every morning, before he would go to his work, he would be going around 6 or 6:30 in the morning, 7 o'clock at the latest. Mum would get up and get him his breakfast and give him his lunchbox. And then she would see him off. She would go down to the bedroom to have a little rest again. But she always stopped just as she got into bed, wait for the sound of the lorry to start. And when she heard the lorry driving off, she said, "He's safe another morning." Until one morning, she sent him out as usual, gave him his lunch for the day. And then she went back to the room, sat down at the side of the bed, waited for the lorry to start, and it did. And then all of a sudden, all they heard was the rat-a-tat-tat of the gunfire. And she got up on the bed to go to run to her son to help him. And one of the bullets came through the bedroom window and shot the mother. She lay down on that bed that day, dead. Her son was spared, but the mother died. I remember going to that home. And just before that, Dr. Kearns had written that little booklet, "Christ is the Answer." People around that community from different religious backgrounds came to that home to sympathize with the family. And they walked down in the room to see as that mother lay upon that bed, or in that coffin, in that bedroom. And there on the top of the coffin, just above where mother's hands were beneath, was Mr. Cairns's little book for everyone to see. Christ is the answer. And friend, he still is. Here was a woman, she hears about the Lord Jesus Christ, and she wants to get to Jesus. But there's problems. There's obstacles in her way, and now the devil will put obstacles in the way of men and women getting to Christ. Tell me, what were the obstacles? Do you remember what her disease was? Her disease was the issue of blood. And if this woman was recognized out in public, she would be publicly humiliated. And she'd been ridiculed. In actual fact, because she was unclean, she could be beaten, she could be stoned. That's the problem. But then there's a second problem. The crowd. The Bible says the crowd thronged him, and here was a wee woman that's bent over because of her weakness. She can hardly get around, but my, she wants to get to Jesus. She doesn't care about public humiliation. She doesn't care who laughs at her. She doesn't care who ridicules her. I need to get to Jesus. I've got to get Jesus to heal me. I want to tell you, my friend, one of the problems today is people say, if I came to Christ, people would laugh at me. Well, let me tell you the answer to that, friend. Yes, they might. They can laugh you into hell, but they'll never laugh you out of it. There's no laughter in hell. Luke 16, all there is tears, crying. The cries of lost souls of the damned. And if you're not saved and you go to hell, friend, you'll be one of them. Never to laugh again. Yes, the fear of man, Jesus said, brings a snare. If I came to Jesus, what would my family say? If I give my heart and life to Christ in Lurgan Free Church tonight, what would the country say? Oh, friend, don't let them ridicule you or laugh you into hell. The fear of man brings a snare. But here's a woman, she's desperate. And says, I must get to Jesus. And she's so desperate. And you see her, listen, and she makes her way through that crowd. They're pushing. But my, this little weak woman, she's hardly any strength left. But she reaches out her hand. And she says, listen, all I need to do is to touch the hem of his garment. What was the hem of the garment, Fred? It was the finished part. And that's what you and I need to do to be saved, friend, is rest our soul upon the finished work of Jesus Christ upon the cross. He paid the debt he did not owe. And I owed the debt that I couldn't pay. But thank God, Jesus washed my sin away. And that's why I sing redemption's song, Amazing Grace. Christ Jesus paid the debt for me. Notice her deliverance. She came behind him, verse 44. And she touched the border of his garment. Listen, that was a touch of faith. If I but touch his garment, I'll be whole. Touching Jesus. Ah, that's all that matters. and your life will never be the same. And her deliverance was, thank God it says, verse 44, immediately. Immediately, her issue of blood stanched. The flow of blood stopped. Immediately. She reached out the hand of faith, and the blood was dried up. And Mark tells us she felt in her body that she was healed of the plague. Her deliverance. But before we finish, listen. Notice her declaration. Jesus said, "Who touched me?" And Peter and the rest of the disciples said, "What do you mean, Master, who touched me? You look at the crowd of people that's around you, and yet you didn't say, did the crowd touch me?" No, he said, "Who? Who? Did the crowd not touch the Savior, friend, as they thronged him?" Yes, they did. But only one touched him with a hand of faith. And I love this. It says, verse 47, "When the woman saw that she was not hid, she came trembling and falling down before him, and she declared unto him," listen, "before all the people, for what cause she touched him." She wasn't ashamed. She was no longer afraid of the ridicule or the scorn or the laughing of the crowd. She said, "I want to tell you, I touched you, and this is why I touched you." She told them all. Let me tell you, my friend, if you're going to be saved tonight, you've got to bring your sin and come as a sinner to Jesus. And acknowledge that you're a lost, guilty, hell-deserving sinner. And she testified that day. It says, "before him, and declared unto him before all the people." "Lord Jesus, it was me. I came. I tried everyone else, Lord. I tried everyone else. I spent my last penny to get healed. And not one of them could help me. But Lord Jesus, I heard of you. And I believe with all my heart, if I could only touch the hem of your garment, I be healed." And she said, "Lord, listen." Immediately, she told him, she touched him, and how she was healed immediately. Friend, you don't grow into salvation. It's not a process. One moment you're on the way to hell as a sinner, and you call out on this Lord Jesus Christ to save you, and praise God, the next moment, you're on your way to heaven. It's a miracle of what you sang in your first hymn, the grace of God, and the last hymn, the grace of God. Grace is a charming sound, harmonious to the ear. No longer separated, no longer isolated, no longer driven out, no longer hopeless. No longer helpless. Healed. Healed. And thank God, the man or woman who calls on the Lord Jesus, the boy or girl who calls upon the Lord, that moment, saved. Saved. For time and eternity. Here's the last thought. Don't miss it. Her delight. Verse 48. And Jesus said unto her, Daughter, be of good comfort. Do you know that's the only time in the Bible that Jesus used that word? Daughter. What did that mean, friend? A daughter is someone who's in the family. I don't know what her background was, and I don't care what her background was or her family condition was up to this moment, but let me tell you, she's going home in the family of God. A child of God. Now are we the sons of God. It doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that whenever he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Notice that. We shall be like him. Remember Doc used to say to me, Brother Willie, you'll be good looking on that day. You'll be like him. Like him. And Jesus said, Daughter, it's a word of tenderness. It's a word of acceptance. It's a word of love. You're my child. Though the world looks upon me as a fool, I'm a child of the King. And then he says, be of good courage. Or be good comfort. Rejoice. Thy faith have made thee whole. And then he said this. Go in peace. Go home happy. Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed through his infinite mercy, his child, and forever I am, hallelujah. Child of the King. And friends, she went home, and I see her enter her wee house and put her head upon the pillow. 12 long years she's been dying, helpless and hopeless. And that night she slept, happy, in peace. Because all's well. Young man, who made the difference, friend? The doctors? No, she tried them. The chief priests or the scribes? No, they were useless. Only one. And there's only one way to heaven, friend. And that's Jesus. Tell me, will you come to him? I beg you, come to him now. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank thee for thy word tonight. And we pray that by thy Holy Spirit that thou will write this word upon the hearts of everyone that's gathered here. Dear Lord, if there's one tonight in this service and they're not saved, please don't let them go home that way. Dear man, woman, in this service tonight, I say to you in God's name, please don't go home unsaved. As your heads are bowed and eyes are closed, call upon the Lord to save you. Rest your soul on the finished work of Jesus Christ upon the cross for your redemption. And call upon his name and thank God, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Heavenly Father, separate us with your blessing. Spirit of God, draw sinners to Jesus Christ. We ask it in his name. Amen. If there's someone here tonight and you're not saved, I beg you, please don't go away. We're here to help you. We're here to thank God, just open up the Word of God and we'll gladly show you God's way of salvation. And you can go home like that wee woman went home. At peace. Peace with God.
through the blood of his cross. Don't miss him. God bless you.